want a piece of me?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Welcome, film fans. Welcome to another bonus episode. Welcome to Rain of Fire, and welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined by the cast, the crew, Zacchaeus.
Hey, what's up, guys? What if I just done this the whole time? Just hold up the Blu-ray as my face.
Yeah. Let's just hold it up there because it's the 20th anniversary. Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale. Bonus episode. Zach, how you feeling?
I'm good. Long day at the office, but guess what? Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday. And the best part about Friday is the Thursday before. And you get another new episode, more content being pushed out like if it's due day, the baby's due, you got the crown of the head popping out. it's due day. It's time. It's D-Day. Zach, for everybody out there who may be joining us for the first time live on Imoswa Productions, explain to them what we do here on the bonus episodes.
Yeah, so the bonus episodes, we just, you know, be honest, guys. Honestly, guys, there's a ton of movies out there. We can't get to all of them. We can't get to every anniversary. We can't hit all the big films. So every so often throughout the year, we do these bonus episodes. Back in May, we did a On the Road to Jurassic World Dominion. We talked about all the Jurassic Park movies from Lost World to Fallen Kingdom. For the month of July and for the last week of June, we're doing the 20th anniversary of films. Johnny, Ed, and Craig did Attack of the Clones. Me and Johnny did We Were Soldiers last week. We're doing Rain of Fire today. Next week is John Q, the Denzel movie, Denzel Washington movie. And we're ending July with The Sandman. With Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds. But you know what? I'm excited about today, honestly. Today we're talking about Rain of Fire. But if you guys did not join us just a few days ago for Monday, go back and listen to episode 201, Thor, Love and Thunder. Tremendous episode. I think it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun movie to talk about. So go back and listen to Thor 201. Over in the archives, episode 200 was just a few weeks ago. So we're pushing out a lot of content, guys. Go check it out. Go listen to it. Highly praised episodes. So I appreciate everything that everybody's been doing and, you know, helping us push out these episodes. Giving away some more digital copies this week. So you guys can check us out on the social media as well. Facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. Instagram, one word, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Twitter is @Cinnamon405. You can send us some emails. We read emails at the end of every episode on Mondays. Email is cinemen921@gmail.com. We just got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. And then, like Zach said, Monday kicks off Denzel Week. The whole week is going to be dedicated to Denzel because Monday we're talking about Malcolm X. And then Thursday we're talking about John Q.
Yep.
And this is all leading up. We're putting all these Denzel movies into a big stirring pot. We're cooking it. We're letting it settle for a little bit. And then in December, we're going to push out probably one of our most funnest episodes that we've ever done. Our top five plus five. Which those are some girthy episodes. Those are some fun, detailed, in-depth episodes. We haven't done one since March, and we're going to do one in December with our top five plus five Denzel movies of all time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I can't
and
wait.
And, hey, why not do it for his birthday month in December? Yeah. What appropriate time? And one of the things I think all four of us love to do, the top five plus five, but I think our listeners even enjoy it more because we get tons of emails with their top 10 films or whatever, just topic or discussion.
Top five plus five, December, Denzel Washington should be fun. Another big thing is, you know what? I am going to give Zach some props a little bit later on today. But this is a bonus episode, so let's get into it. Today we were talking Reign of Fire. It has a release date of July 12th, 2002. IMDb currently has it at 6.2. The Rotten Tomatoes score is 42%. Metascore is 39%, while the Google users have it at 78%. The budget was $60 million, and unfortunately, it only grossed $82 million at the box office. Starring Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale, Isabella Scorpio,
Yep.
Gerard Butler, Scott Mauner, David Kennedy, Alexander Sid, directed by Rob Bowman. A brood of fire-breathing dragons emerges from the earth and begins setting everything ablaze, establishing dominance over the planet and sending it to a crispy Armageddon end. Zach, before we get into this episode, let's do a little director talk. We always talk about the director. We'll shine some light on the director.
Mm-hmm.
The latest thing he really directed, if you want to get into it, I don't know if you already had it pulled up.
I had it pulled up until my stupid thing. Here we go. So, director Rob Bowman. Let's see. He's done, honestly, a majority of his career has been television. Yeah. Whether it be 21 Jump Street, Star Trek,
Quantum Leap,
which I heard was coming back, The X-Files, he did 33 episodes of that.
Which led him to directing The X-Files' first feature film.
Mm-hmm.
He also directed Reign of Fire. Your favorite superhero movie, Zach, he directed Elektra.
to be honest, I've actually never seen that. So,
but the latest thing he did was he's directed some episodes of The Rookie.
Yeah, with Nathan Fillion.
Looks like out of those three movies, Zach, Reign of Fire, The X-Files, and Elektra, which one would probably sit on top for you?
The one we're going to be talking about. So Reign of Fire would be my number one. So to be honest, that's the only film of his directed films I've seen. I haven't seen X-Files, I haven't seen Elektra, and I haven't seen Airborne. So
is Airborne about the dog that plays like basketball?
No, that's Air Bud. Very different film.
I would probably have to say the X-Files film is going to probably be number one for me.
Okay. Look, we talked about this, I think, was it this last week or the week before when we started
episode talking? 200 is when we kind of dove a little into the X-Files.
Now, yeah, I know you were, I don't know if you've seen, I don't think you've seen all the X-Files, but I think you were kind of a casual fan of the TV show.
It was force fed down my throat because of my dad always constantly watching it, reruns. Mm-hmm. But I never saw a bad episode. And it makes me want to dive into it now, especially looking at movies now the way I do.
Yeah.
Zach, I want to ask you this because I asked the Goodfellas over on Friday the 14th last night when we reviewed Insidious Chapter 2. So if you guys want to go check that episode out, go check it out. Me, Nick, and Mr. Fuentes dived deep into Insidious Chapter 2. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts or on this channel. Zach, I want to ask you, since doing a movie podcast, do you watch movies now differently? And is it sometimes a curse because you're always watching movies with that mindset of, I kind of got to dissect it a little bit?
Yeah, you know, there were some films like Spawn. Spawn's a very good example of, I get why people like this. You know, growing up as a kid, I think you and Ed were definitely the ones in that episode that kind of defended it. But to me, on the outset, looking in, you know, it's not a good film, you know. But even something like, I can tell the difference between like a good movie, which I don't want to watch all the time, like La La Land, compared to like something like Moonlight, which is probably a more superior film. But out of the two, I'd probably prefer La La Land. But it's always, but I can watch something like this, Reign of Fire, and turn my mind off.
Okay.
That's it's just an action film, basically.
That's what I was gonna get into.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, say it's something not for a subject matter, like it's not something for a podcast.
Just if I'm not doing it for the show.
Yeah, if you're just doing it for pleasure, like can you turn that off and just enjoy what you're trying to watch?
Yeah.
Can't do it. I don't know why.
The critic brain's not always running.
It hasn't worked for me yet. I don't know why. I don't know how I can get out of it. But yeah. But let's dig into it, man. We talked about the cast, the crew, Zach. Do you remember the first time that you checked out Reign of Fire? Was it in the theaters? And what was it like revisiting it for this podcast?
Yeah, so I remember seeing this trailer in the theater and thought this is going to be epic. It looked really cool, and I never really had seen dragons in this type of limelight other than I was about to say Braveheart, Dragonheart with Dennis Quaid. My mom took me to see it, and I remember being just so freaking like excited. I remember like being sad about the ending, which we'll get into as we go, but I remember really enjoying it. And on this watch, and we'll talk about this, like the reputation as the film as it's gone on through the years. On this watch, I still enjoy it, man. It's just a really fun action film. You know, it's very 2002-ish, which we'll get into, but I don't know, man. It still works for me. So now I know this is for you. This is a first time watch.
Zach, this is a first time watch for me. And I gotta say, I went in with zero to little, no liking expectation of this movie. First off, in the cover of the Blu-ray and the posters, Matthew McConaughey's baldness looks like a complete joke. And then the CGI posters of the movie kind of look, I'm getting ready to pop in a 2001 Xbox video game.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta say, I came out really enjoying this movie.
Awesome.
I don't know if it was the cast, the story, and we're going to get into it. So in just a few short words, if I could describe this first time watch, it would be fun.
Yeah. So let's get into the movie. You know, I don't know what your standpoint on dragon films are. I know you've seen Game of Thrones. Is that just the extent of it, or do you like something kind of like this?
I didn't get into much Game of Thrones feeling with this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I do I do think that it feels more it's not as cartoonish as I thought it would be. And I had no Game of Thrones vibes at all. Game of Thrones vibes at
all. Well, I'm not talking about like just as this film as a Game of Thrones like genre. I'm talking about like, do you like dragons like from Game of Thrones, or do you like them from
Shrek?
Shrek, Aragorn, whatever. You know, just the dragon culture, I guess.
The mythology of dragons.
The mythology, yeah.
It never honestly has crossed my mind. I'm like, oh, dragons. I don't, for some reason I gravitate towards like real life animals or something like that, like in movies or like mm-hmm. some, I know that's not a real life animal, like Godzilla. I enjoy the mythology of Godzilla. But like, honestly, I've never really had too much, not that I hate them, mm-hmm. but I've just never had any feelings towards dragons, honestly.
Yeah.
If that kind of makes any sense, like,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, but that was another one of my worries about going to this movie. I'm like, dragons, you know, and then looking at the movie and not reading anything about the synopsis, even if you read the synopsis, you know, it doesn't tell you how things started. And mm-hmm. I want to get into that because that's, if I can appreciate anything in this movie, the main thing that I adore and appreciate is the actual story of this movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, looking at the movie, it's like, oh, this takes place in like the 300 days. No, like this is live today or mm-hmm. say 2002. This is live real time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and dragons were living and breathing in our world, and they arose from the ashes and they destroyed everything in their path. Yeah. I even have this in my notes. I like how it said that the burning of the dinosaurs, like they're the reasons the dinosaurs were extinct.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a completely awesome idea. Like mm-hmm. that was just so cool. And the dragons just completely turned our world into an apocalypse.
Yeah.
And, it even shows it when Gerard Butler's character and Christian Bale's characters reenacting Star Wars for the kids, because the kids have no idea what that is. They don't know what that is. And I'm like, that is genius.
Yeah.
Of you taking this mythology built of fire breathing dragons, something that people don't even hardly think about in movies, and you turn it into a zombie apocalypse. That's how I sat and looked at this movie, and I think it did wonders for me.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in the theater, I remember the opening sequence with young Quinn, and they go down to the digging shaft, and then the two guys get killed, and the dragon climbs its way up the elevator shaft and just looks in and just like flies out. I was like, that really set the tone for what this movie was going to be.
And that's really the only time you see the dragon until an hour and almost 15 minutes into the movie.
Well, you get the vineyard scene where there's a group of people that kind of disobey Christian Bale, and they go out looking for food or plant life or whatever, and they get attacked by the dragon. And I will say that there are some of the sequences hold up more than others. You can kind of tell the CGI-ness of some of the dragons, but when we get to the end, like the big climactic battle, I think they're kind of saving their money for that shot, which I think still holds up. But I really liked the exposition after young Quinn kind of sees the dragon and literally all hell breaks loose, and him kind of just journaling and saying, I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to understand that men's knowledge on these creatures is the only weapon we have left. And it just, and like you said, Johnny, it becomes a post-apocalyptic world where, you know, humans are all nearly extinct, basically.
And you even have like the shot of I think there's not a shot of the dragon, I don't know, but there's definitely a shot of a city burning on Time magazine.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just, that was phenomenal. But you know what, for me being like a movie fan and a movie goer, and this having two of my favorite actors in it, I am surprised that I've never ever came across a purchase or watch of this movie. And it just really, kind of took me and shook, like, you know, a 20-year-old movie. And I mean, is it because it really didn't make any money? But I mean, I still don't even, and you know, this was the time in 2002 where every movie had a video game.
Yep.
Did this have a video game?
It did. It was on Xbox, I think PS2, I think.
Okay.
So yeah. I think you can actually play the dragon, and you're also like a version of Matthew McConaughey's character or something to that extent.
What did you think of the two characters? You know, you get a young Gerard Butler in this movie, mm-hmm. and then Christian Bale. And I don't think I've ever seen those two in a movie together, but no. I liked it in this one.
Yeah, I think they had good chemistry for they were pretty much, they were friends, and they were pretty much together the entire film until Matthew McConaughey comes into the picture. To be honest, I forgot Gerard Butler was even in this. Obviously, I didn't know who he was back in the day, even before 300 came out. But I really like Christian Bale in this movie. I think he's like a perfect audience character, if that makes sense. You kind of see the world through his eyes. You get what he's doing. You want him to protect this little community that's like stored up in this castle. And then when Matthew McConaughey comes around, he's kind of like the all America, we're going to take the dragons out of the sky type of person, which I still think I think his performance is very much of the time, because during this time he was doing like rom-coms and like these really, you know, I don't want to call this
failure
silly.
To launch stuff. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, these little action movies like this and Sahara and different stuff like that.
I have to say, and I love me some Matthew McConaughey, but one of the big reasons that this movie goes from a, you know, we'll start at a perfect 10, because I don't know about you, but for me, my movies, always give my movies, I'll give it a 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start out with a 10 and I'll slowly go down. Some people start at zero and go up. I'm opposite. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But I went in full, you know, full fledged to enjoy this movie with zero expectation.
Right.
No judgment. But that's one of the things I did not like about this movie, in all honesty, was I enjoyed the camp, Gerard Butler, Christian Bale, and their story. But the moment the Americans got involved, it kind of went downhill for me. I didn't really enjoy Matthew McConaughey being that guy. And I didn't enjoy his look or his getup. And, you know, things kind of went south when the Americans went and got introduced. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just, I personally didn't like it. What about you?
My only thing with that is that he's really the only American we come to care about. You don't care anyone else from his team other than the girl who, Alex, I think she is like an archangel where she flies the helicopters into the sky and the, parachuters jump out of the planes and helicopters and stuff. But really the only, if you really think about it, the only two characters that have backstories and characterizations is Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. Everyone else is kind of like a, I don't want to say a pawn, but they're just kind of like a secondary B character that, okay, they either will live or die by the end of this movie.
Yeah, I even felt that way about the main female.
Yeah. Alex, yep. Which, something I will say about this film, and I think it's, I don't want to say it's a detriment, but it kind of, you get introduced to Christian Bale, the dragons have taken over the world. They're kind of doing their thing, trying to survive. Matthew McConaughey shows up. They do a couple, like one mission. They finally come up with the idea of maybe we can kill the alpha male. You know, maybe they could stop. And then they do the climax, and that's the end of the movie. Honestly, it's only like, without credits, it's probably like an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised at how I remember this. I guess I just remember this movie being like a lot longer, maybe 210, which probably is a good thing it's not 210.
Oh, yeah. I just feel like that is what makes this movie just the pace is right up its alley.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie needs to be longer than what it is. And I think if it was,
it doesn't.
I would have completely had an issue with it.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be 210. I guess just in my brain, I remember it being longer. But this is a perfect length for this type of film. You don't need it to be not even an hour and 40, honestly.
And maybe that's my main issue with the American and Matthew McConaughey coming in was he was just, you know, it's got liver, it's got lungs, it's got a heart. We take one of those away, it can die.
But I like that. I enjoy that aspect of it where, you know, dragons have always been considered a mystical beast. They can't be killed, whatever. And Matthew's character is like, no, they live, breathe just like us. You take it out, you hit it in the right spot, it'll die.
I'm not too big on dragons. So is this a thing in dragon mythology? As soon as it inhales and gets ready to blow out its flame, you know, Matthew McConaughey is like, once its lungs are open up or its chest opens up, getting ready to exhale the fire, that's when it's at its weakest. Is that a common thing? I feel like I've heard that before.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm not really caught up on my dragon anatomy, but I mean, it's, I think
that's how Donkey got her in Shrek. You know, he waited for those lungs to open up and exhale.
But I mean, anytime you're dealing with dragons, there's always like a weak spot. I remember in Dragonheart where like when he lifts up to scale to expose the heart, that's where you're supposed to kill him. Smaug had like a a little indention on his chest where the black arrow hit him. So it's just in Game of Thrones, I think the dragon's like, it's under their wings that they're most vulnerable. So, I mean, it's, I think it's a common theme when you're dealing with dragons that they always have a weakness somehow. And when they, in this one where they, like you said, they expose their lungs and get ready to exhale fire, that's their weakest. But I mean, it works because, you know, by the end of the film, Christian Bale's able to do that. So.
I got to shed some light on the scene where Christian Bale goes in and the castle is just in flames and you see the sparks flying and everything behind him. I thought that was like beautifully shot.
Yeah.
For this being like an action movie about dragons, there was a lot of cool visual, almost open wide cinematography shots of, I guess they shot this on location.
Yep.
So it's pretty fun, pretty good looking.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of wide shots where it's like, I, like when they get into like demolish London and they kind of hide behind the bridge and all the dragons like explode from the backgrounds of the demolished buildings is a really cool shot. The final shot, not the final shot, but the final confrontation between Bale and the dragon where they're just kind of eyeing each other down is a really cool shot as well.
The way the dragons looked in this movie, too, I thought it was going to be some cheap CGI, but I felt like I had 1998 Godzilla vibes with this movie. Just because of how, you know how they treated Godzilla? They made him look like he was a real lizard, so he would crawl in and out of the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how I felt about this. Like, they made it look like a dragon could be an actual lizard.
Yeah. The, in order, I'm going to read this real quick. In order to overcome the limitation, the then groundbreaking work was done by digital effects, who did Neil Esker, who did Disney's 2000, the 2000 Disney film Dinosaur, if you remember that movie. They tried to create a realistic physical simulation of the dragon, and they called for a quote 100-foot creature wingspan 300 feet that could undergo enormous speeds and acceleration. The artistic direction required each dragon to have wings that transition between a variety of physical behaviors and interact with the environment, which is cool. They tried to do a real world aspect. If these things were flying around the sky or trying to dive bomb into the ground, how would they react to the earth? And so I kind of appreciate that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I said, you said right off the hand, the movie was quick, in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to get you entertained, honestly, like, because this movie is just pretty badass, honestly. Let some of the listeners know, and I honestly want to know too. So, you know, what was it about this movie? Like, is there a reason that you wanted to shed some light on this 20th anniversary out of all the other movies that we could have picked or you could have picked?
Yeah.
You were given the absolute, you know, you were given the keys to drive, and the, you know, last week you got We Were Soldiers, and then this week is Reign of Fire. So let everybody know kind of your decision on Reign of Fire.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a remembrance thing. It's like the We Were Soldiers conversation we had last week. I wasn't disturbed by the end of this film, but I just remember going to this theater and seeing it. I remember really, really liking it. It's actually one of the very first DVDs I ever got. The summer when this came out, I had just been recently diagnosed with cancer the second time. It was just kind of like a whole bunch of memories. And then years and years later, I went to, when I was in college, I actually went and got the Blu-ray over at Hastings for like $10. And this is a really, really cheap Blu-ray. You can maybe even get it for like $5 now on Amazon or something. And I remember checking out, going to the register and checking out, and the person behind the desk was like, "Oh my God, Reign of Fire. I haven't seen that movie in forever." So it's like people know about this movie, but they just forget that it exists, if that makes any sense. It's like, I remember I told my coworkers at work, we were reviewing this, and they said, "Reign of Fire, what's that?" And I explained it. They said, "Oh yeah, 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 the dragon movie." So it's like, it's in the culture, but it's just been forgotten. And so it was just like, you know, this year's the 20th anniversary. Let's talk about it. You know, I think it's better to do it as a bonus episode because I don't think there's not a lot to talk about with this movie, to be honest. So it's probably better as a bonus because I kind of want to do it as a main episode. But in your estimation, Johnny, it works better, to be honest. So that's kind of my reasoning for picking this.
And, you know, you brought it up, so I don't mean to, like, put too much professional or, you know, stuff out there. Right. But it seems like a lot of the movies from that time frame that you mentioned, you know, a lot of the movies that you have mentioned in the past, stuff like The Mummy and, you know, other stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
because of the time, they're really personal to you.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's honestly what I can enjoy about talking movies with you, honestly, on a 1-to-1 scale. Mm-hmm. And this was like characters, podcast, show, numbers, everything out the window. Like, as just two people who love movies, like, yeah. that's one thing that I enjoy talking to you about, because out of all the hard stuff that you were going through, out of the just bad memories in general,
mm-hmm.
the one thing that you can stay positive on was your movies.
Yeah.
And it's carried with you 20 years later. And yeah. I just got to say, like, you know, that's the kind of stuff we need, and not just like stuff to talk about on the show, but like just stuff in general in life.
Yeah.
Because you took a terrible, disgusting disease and you made positive news about it. You were like, hey, I'm going to the movies and I'm going to enjoy every single moment about this. Yeah. It could have been a complete disaster for you, and you could have been like, I'm not going to enjoy this. You probably didn't feel very good because of some of the stuff you were going through.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, man, you kicked it in its ass, and you have great stories to talk about with great movies. And I just want to say, you know, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And sometimes I wonder if people get tired of that, because it's like, oh, so it goes back to cancer. Why you like this? It's just like,
no,
it's just,
it's a good story.
When we talked about Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man, which is also celebrating 20 years this year, that was the first movie I saw. You gotta put this in perspective. I just had major lung surgery to remove like a baseball sized tumor in my lung. And so the thing I remember, my mom always brings this up, is I told the doctor, look, I got to get out of here. I got to go see Spider-Man. You know, I actually told a doctor, a cancer doctor, saying, hey, I need to go to the movies. That's more important to me right now than getting healthy.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, it's both a blessing and a curse. But I mean, you know, our review is going to show up on the feed today, tomorrow or Saturday, and they're going to say, what is this? And it's just, you know, it's just a movie that, is it one of my 10 favorite films of all time? No, but it's a film that means a lot to me, just given the circumstances at the time. And I think, I was like, you know what, let's just review it. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
And you know what, like you said, Zach, it's cheap on Blu-ray. I paid like $11.99 for it on BestBuy.com. It's $3.99 to rent on YouTube, Apple TV, on Vudu, and on Prime Video. But guess what? If you have a Hulu subscription,
yeah,
which 90% of us, I'm sure, do, go check it out on Hulu.
Yeah,
it's an hour and 42 minutes, an hour and a half with credits. You get Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale, just a few years before The Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
Yeah.
And you get some fun, you know, dragon scenes. You get some fun apocalyptic scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Armageddon, but instead of an asteroid coming, it's a fucking dragon.
Yeah.
And I got to appreciate this 2002. I'm going to say it's a forgotten classic almost.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think people know about it, but there's no one talks about it anymore. It's just basically been forgotten. It's kind of in the shadow. This was, I think, about a month after Attack of the Clones came out, so people are still talking about that. And I think it came out the same day as Crocodile Hunter Collision Course.
Oh my God.
Which is, you know, another borderline classic, if you ask me. But
hey,
you know, but it's, you know, it's a film that I think, if you know, if you give it a chance, I think you are rewarded by the end of the film. I think it still has some great sequences that definitely entertain you. And like you said, excluding credits, you're in and out. I don't know, 30 minutes.
Speaking of in and out, I had a little issue with the ending as well. You said something too about the ending. What did you not like about the ending?
Well, it's probably the opposite of what I was thinking. I was just sad that Matthew McConaughey died. I think it's a really cool way he goes out.
Yeah. He sacrificed himself.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I just wanted him to live when I was younger. So,
no,
which I'm sure since you didn't like that character, you probably thought, well, that was kind of a redeeming quality.
No, it's not that. I mean, I enjoyed the ending, but I just felt like his death was okay. But I felt like the clarity was just a little, there wasn't closure really, because it kind of left an open door for a sequel, because Christian Bale was like, if they come back, I'll kill him, you know? Yeah. So it just kind of like, I didn't get a good closure on the ending. And I guess that's a movie back in the day. That's a movie now, because everybody needs a sequel. Yeah. And I'm sure if it made $200 million, I'm sure there would have been a sequel.
Yeah, well, there was talks of a sequel. It was canceled. In a 2002 interview, Christian Bale was asked, is there a sequel possibly to Ring of Fire? To which Bale responded, possibly. I told Scott Mauder, who plays one of the kids in the movie, that he's well positioned to take the sequel for me because of the way the movie ends. Which no. If you're gonna do a sequel, Christian Bale's got to come back to do that.
And that's what I was gonna bring up. I'm kind of glad, because I feel like, yeah, this is a movie. When I was watching it, I was like, if there was a sequel, it would have been a straight to direct sci-fi original movie.
Mm-hmm. Which this is cool. The legacy of this, the mechanisms which we talked about of the dragon's fire breath in this movie inspired the biology of real life creatures such as the anti-predator adaption or bombarder beetle and poison glands of vipers, which was used in later works such as Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, The Deathly Hallows Part 1, Gods of Egypt, and the one we talked about earlier, Game of Thrones. So
nice.
This movie's kind of had a little bit of a lasting effect.
Definitely one of those movies that they tested some equipment out, and they still use the equipment today.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, let's get into, do you have any favorite scenes from this movie that you want to maybe get off your shoulders?
I'm going to say probably the opening where young Quinn's in the elevator and the dragon climbs up and kind of reveals himself to him, which is cool. And then the final climax between Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey, and the girl, Alex. And then ultimately the stare down between the Bale and the dragon is an awesome scene, and kind of the way he has to be, as they say, in the furnace to actually shoot the arrows into the mouth. So he's got to be like real, real close. And then kind of like it's kind of a silly moment, but the actual aftermath or the rebirth of, like you said, if they come, they'll burn, all kill type of thing. So more than one favorite scene.
If I had to name a scene or two, I do enjoy the Star Wars reenacting. I thought that was a fun scene. Mm-hmm. Honestly, anything really that Gerard Butler was kind of in was pretty cool.
Were you sad to see him go?
Yeah. The fight between Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then just like I brought it up earlier, that hour and 10 minute mark when the dragon just full wingspan, you got to see the burnt marks in its wings. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool. So in a world and in a time and age of Hollywood where dinosaurs, Godzilla, Planet of the Apes, and everything ruled Hollywood, it was pretty cool to say and see this and be like, oh, wow, like this is different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this movie maybe gets some flack, or maybe just is kind of forgotten about, because it's an original idea. It's an original story mode and storyline, two original characters, a dragon pretty much causes chaos and apocalypse on the world. And guess what? People forgot about it.
Yeah.
In a day and age, 20 years ago, and because shortly after there was like the Hollywood strike, I think, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people were complaining, too many redos, too many resequels, or, you know, come up with original ideas. People come up with original ideas. You just got to go pay to go see it.
Yeah, people didn't go see it. And so it's just kind of been like
forgotten about.
Yeah. This came out the same day as, like I said, the Crocodile Hunter Collision Course, Road to Perdition, which is actually a really cool Tom Hanks movie, and your favorite film of all time in the franchise, Johnny, Halloween Resurrection.
Fuck that movie.
So,
which I mentioned it last night on Friday the 14th, Zach. Did you see that Halloween Ends trailer comes out July 20th?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis shared it on her Twitter earlier this week. So I know that'll be a thing that we bring up Monday in some movie news. But yeah, I thought I'd mention it to you. July 20th.
That's next Wednesday. And then we'll talk about it on the Nope episode on the 25th.
Yep.
So,
all right. I think it's time, Zach. What everybody waits for. Star rating 1 out of 10. Rain of Fire for you gets a.
Honestly, it's kind of the same situation that we were talking about last week with We Were Soldiers. I'm gonna give it an 8, man. Honestly, it's a really fun in and out action film from the early 2000s that is kind of treasured in my brain. You know, I think I know you don't really like the performance of McConaughey, but it works for me. I think Christian Bale's great, which is ironic that we had Christian Bale week with Thor: Love and Thunder and Ring of Fire. But yeah, man, it's a film that just give it a chance. I think you will be rewarded. And like you said, it's on Hulu. So if you have a Hulu account, which about 100% of the population does, just go watch it for free. What about you?
Before I get into mine, Zach, you didn't check this out on Hulu. You checked it out on the Blu-ray, right?
The Blu-ray, yeah.
I didn't check any of the special features out yet, but I think I'm going to go back and check that out for myself. My star rating, honestly, I enjoyed it. It was a fun watch. Like you said, you were in and out. I had no pacing issues whatsoever. I just didn't like how it was kind of American forced. Matthew McConaughey, let's shove the Americans in there. They'll show everybody how to win.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 7. You know, I like this movie. I don't know how the rewatchability would live up now that I've seen, you know, the story mode or the story arc of the film and the fire-breathing dragons, which was a fun concept. But for now, I'm thoroughly impressed. I know a 7, you know, people, he just thinks it's fine. No, to me, a 7 for this movie on a first-time watch, I was impressed with it.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, I recommend it. I say, hey, guys, go out there and check it out on the Hulu. I think it's definitely worth a watch. So,
and something I do want to point out is that there was they released a soundtrack to it, but it was just mostly the score. But there was a band from the early 2000s that did like a whole album they're called Mad at Gravity. And they have two songs that play during the credits of the film called Burn and Walk Away. Really kind of a cool indie band that they only did one album and kind of dissolved and haven't been heard from since. But this is kind of what they're known for, doing the songs for this movie. And they're on Spotify. They're on Apple Music. So go check them out. Mad at Gravity.
Nice. Zach, like I said, Monday starts Denzel Washington week.
Yeah.
Monday, July 18th, we're talking Malcolm X from 1992. Zach, you excited about Malcolm X?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. I wasn't with you guys when you guys did the Judas and the Black Messiah episode, but I think this has a lot of those type of vibes. So it'll be interesting to talk about.
Monday, we're talking Malcolm X. We're also going to talk our top 5 movies based on real life individuals.
So like biopics, top 5 biopics.
Top 5 biopics. And then next Thursday, we're talking the 20th anniversary of John Q. Denzel Washington, Robert Duvall, James Woods, Anne Hatchett, Kimberly Elsey, and Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
So
that's streaming on Netflix right now.
Netflix. So yeah, you got 2 movies. Unfortunately, Malcolm X was on HBO Max, but they took it off. So next Thursday, July 21st. We're talking John Q. You excited about John Q? Have you ever seen it?
I have seen it. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but ironically, guys, because they know, last day to watch it, July the 31st. So,
oh, of course.
So we will get it watched and reviewed before they take it off.
All right, then, Zach, do you have anything you want to put on the final stamp of Rain Over Fire before we go into Monday with Malcolm X?
No. Like I said, you got Hulu. Go check it out. That's my conclusion.
Is Malcolm X going to be a first-time watch for you in full?
It was a first-time watch, yeah.
Nice. I'm excited. Don't forget, guys, Monday, July 18th, Malcolm X, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Malcolm X, check it out.